With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
We good?
Yeah. Yep.
Super.
Ramble doesn't start till I walk in. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. Pete's here.
Hello.
Luke's here.
All right.
James or Jim.
All right.
He's here.
He's already done it.
Okay.
Yeah.
One step ahead.
He jumped the gun.
Like all the best players.
Yeah. First yards in your head.
Yeah. Gentlemen, Phil Brown said recently, quite ironically, because he's been sacked, but he said, he said, "I don't drink pints of hindsight, I drink pints of Guinness."
Managed to sound like Brent and Partridge in the same sentence. It's amazing.
He drinks pints of P45 now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he'll have plenty of time
to drink what he wants, really.
To drink. Lots of hindsight.
In the gardening leave. Lots of creosote.
Yeah. All over his face. What is something, your favourite thing a manager's come out with, or something quite outstanding, something silly, something that's stuck in the memory? Luke.
Oh, it's always me first. I'm under pressure.
But you always jump in, that's why.
Yeah, well, I like to have my own decision to jump in. I don't like being told.
Get on with it.
One that sticks in the mind for me is when Keegan took over as manager of England.
Oh, yeah.
Would have been leading up to Euro 2000, would be his first tournament, I believe.
Yep.
And
his only tournament.
There was talk of Argentina and stuff like that, and because of what happened in the World Cup 98. And then for some reason, Keegan just went, "But Argentina won't be in the European Championships because they're from South America." Do you remember him saying it?
Yeah. Oh, because of his commentary.
Yeah.
When, was it Batty ran up to take it? And he went, "Is he going to score, Kevin?"
Yes. Oh, no!
Make it seem like that was Kevin Keegan's fault, didn't it? Yeah. That whole debacle.
He sort of went, "Yes, an off mark," but you still heard it. He went, "Oh, no!"
Yeah.
Keegan is a great one for talking himself in circles, though, isn't he?
Yeah. But that was a great one.
Didn't he want to say, I'm not disappointed. I can't say I'm disappointed, but I am disappointed.
I'm just disappointed.
He's great value in the press conferences. I loved it when he took the reins back at Newcastle when he was in charge for those three games under Ashley. And he was... It was incredible breaking news. Everyone, oh my goodness, glued to the TV. And somebody asked him a question at the press conference and he answered it. And then, because everyone was wanting to ask him stuff, and someone else jumped. The same guy went to ask him another question, and I think it was a Sky Sports News guy. And he just sort of went, "Hang on a minute, pal. You can't hog the questions, all right? You've got to let other people have a go," kind of thing. And it was just like, "Get back in your box, all right?" Stop. Because he kept going, "Oh, Sky Sports News, Sky Sports News." Like, no.
I'm back.
Everyone's the same.
I'm Kevin Keegan.
Treats
and I am
fairly.
Back.
Yeah.
Media communism.
Yeah. It's an idea. James or Jim, what have you got?
Well, I'm going to slightly ignore the boundaries set by your question,
right,
as I quite often do.
I'll
forego the points if I have to. I'm going to go for when Delia Smith got so drunk she thought it'd be a good idea to go, "Where are you?"
At
half time.
"They
need some Norwich fans."
Where are you? "Let's be having you.
Come back, you."
"I love you.
Let's be having you."
Yeah.
"Let's be having you."
She said afterwards that she wasn't drunk. She was just tired and emotional or something, didn't she?
Coincidentally,
is what my mum always says when she is, in fact, drunk. So I knew straight away that she was drunk.
Good old Delia. They lost that game, didn't they? Was it a last-minute Robbie Fowler goal, I think?
It didn't work.
I think they lost. Pete.
I knew you were going to ask this question through hindsight. Pints of hindsight. So I prepared...
Wow.
Wrote what this fella said. Ian Holloway.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
"To put in gentleman's terms, if you've been out for a night and you're looking for a young lady and you pull one, you've done what you set out to do. We didn't look our best today, but we have pulled. Some weeks the lady is good looking, and some weeks they're not good looking. Our performance today would have not been not the best looking bird, but at least we got her in the taxi. She may not have been the best looking lady who ended up taking home, but it was still very pleasant and very nice. So thanks very much, and let's have coffee.
Every woman he has ever slept with is just deeply regretting it after that.
He's actually,
is that me, means?
He's just quoted Maradona there.
Yeah. I remember that one, but that's brilliant.
That's sensational stuff. Yeah.
He's done a few. He's doing it. Did he do the notable suck in your thumb barrel of tits?
That's right, yeah.
Did he do that one as well?
I don't know whether he made it or he did it.
That one about the taxi turned him into a sort of household name overnight.
Which one was that?
The one you just read.
Oh, that was, yeah.
I've never heard that, to be honest with you.
Oh, that's brilliant.
You got, I mean, for slightly better, like, not silly ones, you got, like, people like Clough are obviously good value. Like,
yeah. Well, these are ones we've talked about.
They say Rome wasn't built in a day, but I wasn't on that particular
list. Yeah.
Yeah, that sort of stuff.
Well, there's a lot that we've kind of gone over before in the profile and so on.
What's your one, then?
But short and sweet. I just loved it when David O'Leary was referring to when people were saying, when he was in charge of Leeds, and they were saying, so is we've heard such and such is interested in, whether it be Alan Smith or whoever, no one's touching my babies.
Creepy.
He kept saying it when they were talking about, because obviously they got to the Champions League semi-final.
And he kept referring to his players as his babies.
They were in a title race as well, and they were going, are you going to win it? And so, they're just babies. They're just babies.
I love the baby talk from O'Leary.
That was a bit odd, wasn't it?
Local babies.
It doesn't help that he looks like a character from The League of Gentlemen, basically.
No, that's right.
It just adds to the creepiness.
Oh. Just him breastfeeding Alan Smith. You've finished your rusk now. Finish it.
Finish it, baby. Finish it.
Probably why Alan Smith spent so much time crying.
Yeah, it's genuinely never been the same since. That's probably why.
Yeah. You'll be pleased to know, everybody, that Pete's going to get the points this week.
Yeah, because I wrote it down.
Yeah. To be fair, Pete, you deserve them.
I think that's my first of 2010.
No, it isn't. You keep saying that.
Yeah, you were saying that last year.
Leave his baby points alone. He's very precious about
them. To be honest, I need to go back and tally all these points up and give the winner a prize.
I'm top at the moment.
I think James is probably top, actually. Yeah.
We don't know, do we?
Yeah, who knows?
But I need to find that out.
I'll tell you who's the winner. Football's the winner.
Opening question.
Football's always the winner. Honourable mentions, we must say. Someone emailed in about this, but this is a classic one. Remember John Sitton?
Yeah.
The Leyton Orient manager? There was a documentary, I forget the name of it, but it was basically following him around as he had a sort of nervous breakdown while his team sort of collapsed around
him. He really did as well.
Yeah,
like a proper,
Yeah, no, he actually did.
But the quote was amazing. Do you remember the quote? Because I can remember.
There's loads, aren't there? What one are you thinking?
The one I'm thinking of is the old when one of the players in the change room at half time starts giving him a bit of back chat, and he goes, "Oh, well, if that's how you feel. Come back tomorrow, and we'll have a good old fashioned tear up. Yeah. I bring your mate. I bring your mate, and then bring your dinner because when I'm finished, you'll need it."
I'm not sure he says. I'm not sure he actually says though because you'll need it. I think he just says because you can bring your dinner. I don't know what that means.
They'll have a nice time.
I think he actually says you can pair up and pick a mate as well. Like that, yeah.
I'd love those sort of candid sort of moments. So remember that TV programme? Is it Premier Passions that followed around?
That was it. That was it. No,
Peter Reid. The follow around Peter Reid.
Peter Reid. Yeah, that's right. Sunderland. Yeah, yeah.
And he was just the sweariest man.
Mm. Yeah, there was
even Holloway was. Holloway did a stress TV programme, and he sort of said at the end, I thought I was an amazing, thoughtful dude, but turns out I'm a little sort of like little prick, really. Which is a glorious bit of self clarity.
There was another one, remember Big Ron Manager, where Ron Atkinson went to Peterborough and Steve Bleasdale was the manager.
Was it Peterborough?
Peter United, yeah. Okay. Steve Bleasdale. It was on the Barry front, wasn't it?
Oh, right.
Yeah. And Bleasdale just got absolutely no respect. It was almost quite difficult to watch.
Yeah.
He took them all to a local factory, because they were being really sort of disobedient and not really doing what they're told or trying hard, these players. And he took them to a local factory. And even then, he was like basically saying to them, this is what it could be for you if you don't play football properly. Mm. You know, if you're out of a job, you'll be working this factory.
Well, I think that's fair to...
But all the players were like, well, I don't really care. But they were so disrespectful. Oh, yeah. And obviously he ended up losing his job in the end.
Yeah, he's had a few outbursts, actually, hasn't he? Big Ron.
Oh, yeah. Well, probably less
moving on. there was a guy who used to be in charge at Leatherhead, non-league Leatherhead, playing in the Ryman Leagues, I forget which one now, a couple below the conference. And apparently his half-time team talks used to consist of him just roasting everybody. It doesn't matter how well they were playing, and my mate said he would go along the row and just go, "You're shit. You're shit. Yeah. You're even shitter. Don't even talk to me." You know, that's how he used to deal with the players.
The guy who used to play, the guy who used to manage the team I played for when I played out in New Zealand was a Scouser, and he had a bit of pedigree. I think he played for Grimsby.
Right.
He played for Marine. Remember Marine?
Yeah.
Didn't there a Conference North side when he played for him anyway? So he was quite good. And at half time, he used to give you pelters as well.
Mm.
And there was this one guy who used to play, and he was like nuts. You know, he didn't take any shit from anyone. I think one of the referees called him mad as a cut snake once when he got sent off. And the manager was going around, like you say, going, "You're shit, you're a twat, you're shit." And and everyone just sat there thinking, "I don't want to say anything because I'm going to be sort of subbed off." And he got around to this guy and just went, "You're shit." And the guy just went, "Well, you are." it broke the atmosphere straight away. But you got to love a bit of that at half-time.
Mm.
Yeah, Glenn Hoddle's said famously, half-time is a time to create positive energy, didn't he?
Is that right?
It doesn't sound like these boys are subscribed to that.
No, absolutely. We're going to start with David Beckham.
Oh, what a shame.
Oh.
I told you about this on Sunday, and you were genuinely gutted, weren't you, Mark?
Still am.
You felt really, really, you were sort of devoed.
Yeah.
There was a woman on Sky Sports with two bones.
Oh my God.
This physiotherapist was on going, "Well, this is where the Achilles
tendon watch."
It was just her like moving this, and the guy was going, "So he definitely can't play in the World Cup." She's going, "No, probably not. Probably not."
he's
silently moving this bone up and down.
It's not like Sky Sports News to go over the top about it.
Hogging the questions. Yeah, I mean, we don't want to talk too much about it because it will be done to death, but it's such a shame for a man who's worked so hard.
Is it the huge sort of blow for England everyone's saying it is, though?
No, I think, do you know what, if it was Frank Lampard or...
Rooney,
dare I say, who gets an injury, I'd be more upset or kind of, "Oh, no, our chances," you know. Mm. Whereas with Beckham, I feel so sorry for the man.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. Yeah, I am. You can see he wants it so much.
Oh,
you could see in his face that it was emotional pain as well as physical pain. Because he knew, didn't he? He knew straight away.
Yeah. But and also, someone made the point to me today that, you know, we're not blessed with brilliant blokes in that England squad.
Yeah.
And he's a genuine good guy. Everybody
true.
Loves him. I mean, Adriano Galliani, the Milan vice president, said that he's be out for 5 to 6 months probably, but he said, you know, I saw him suffering, and he, as he put it, he says, "I took him in my arms and I told him that if he wants next year he will be with us." I mean, that's incredible.
But he hasn't said there's a player though, has he there?
No, very true. But that's how much that he's loved
ticket.
That's how much he's loved, you know.
Absolutely. I think, you know, if you look at it and if you try and put a positive spin on it, it takes that decision making from Capello. He now knows he can't take Beckham.
Mm.
He probably would have taken him, but he's not faced that dilemma of when he plays him, how often he plays him. That's gone now, so he can at least concentrate on the sort of new generation of players coming through.
Yeah.
It is a blow. I don't think it's a massive blow for footballing reasons, but like you say, for the benefit of the squad. And there's no reason he still can't go and be beneficial to the squad in that capacity.
Do you think Capello should take him along?
Yes. I'd hate to see him in a TV studio this summer. I think it'd be
absolutely. I mean, I don't see how Beckham being there would sort of have a negative impact with the squad. Although for him, it might be very, very personally frustrating. It might get him quite down. You never know. Don't know the man, do I? But there's been a lot of doom mongering about it. It was like, "Oh, he might never play again. If he does, he'll probably never play at that level." It's like, you're not a doctor.
Yeah.
You're just some fat bloke who works for the Sun. He's been sat in a Sky Sports studio. You literally don't know what you're talking about. You're just madly speculating.
Right,
it's really annoying.
Do you see Roy Keane's bit where he's sort of gone, "Well, you know, he's played in 3 World Cups. I don't really care."
I love Roy Keane's press conferences.
Yeah.
They seem to have one every day, don't they? It's brilliant.
I'd love to go to a Roy Keane press conference, but at the same time, I think I'd be genuinely terrified to go into the room.
Yeah.
In case I said something, or just moved in a way that he didn't like.
All right, he's got levers and sort of holes in the floor. Oh, God.
He's so quietly he's so quietly menacing.
Mm.
When you don't realise, your chair would just tip back and you disappear through the floor. You'll be seen again.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the Premier League, possibly the best league the world's ever known. a good win for Spurs. Pavlyuchenko getting another brace.
Well, I mean, Luke, you've always championed Pavlyuchenko.
I remember I championed him ahead of the Russia-England game when he beat England pretty much single-handedly, pretty much. But since then, he's been not playing enough, really. And now, when he does play, you know he can do the business. For me, Crouch hasn't had a very good season. He started off okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why Pavlyuchenko wasn't playing earlier. Because Redknapp being so stubborn, that's what it is.
Yeah, their North London rivals Arsenal got a fortunate win at Hull.
Bentner's been murking us. hasn't he? Yeah. You slated him last week. He's done a Podolski. He's scored 4 goals since we last recorded the show.
I don't think he's changed as a player, though, since the last show.
No, he's just scored some goals, hasn't he? I don't really think that was a fortunate win for Arsenal, really, considering the circumstances, because the penalty, obviously, Hessling was offside in the build-up to it, and also Arsenal should definitely have had a penalty as well on Gal Clichy. Just absolutely, it's a bad refereeing display all round, actually, because it was a shocker at Spurs. Spurs should have had a penalty as well, which is just outrageous.
So you say it wasn't a fortunate win, but
I mean, in the circumstances, but it makes it sound like Arsenal sort of fluked it when...
Well, I mean, it was 1-1. The Hull are down to 10 men, and they haven't really broken them down. A shot comes in from about 30, 25 yards out, whatever. The keeper poorly parries it back to Bednar, and he hits it.
He reacted well to Bednar.
He reacted well, but, you know...
The keeper's got to do better.
That is not a goal you can rely on in injury time to win a game, is what I'm saying.
Well, absolutely not, but the thing is, you've got to just sort of keep plugging away, haven't you, for the whole game, and that is what Arsenal did very well.
Yeah, admittedly, we talked before, you know, as everybody said at the Stoke game, that's the kind of game they wouldn't have won.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And again, no matter when all said and done, they've got the 3 points.
It is worrying for Arsenal that they do seem to rely on digging themselves out of these situations rather than comfortably winning these games. I mean, obviously it's good that they are winning them, but I think hopefully they're forming a legal pickup a bit. What was George Boateng doing?
Yeah, that was a bit... Yeah,
it's like he was trying to pull Bentner's eye out.
he ended up getting himself sent off, didn't he?
Yeah. He looked like he was just spoiling for a fight, though, didn't he, the whole time?
I think Bentner was sort of chipping away at him and winding him up. But in fairness, you know, Bentner has scored 4 goals since we recorded, and I'm not taking anything away from him, but 2 have been laid absolutely on the plate by Xavi. Yeah. One was a penalty, and the other one was, to be fair, against Hull, was a nice reaction. But Myhill's got to do better there. He's got absolutely no reason to be parrying that back into the middle of the goal. I know the ball moved a little bit, but he's got to see it a bit earlier. It came from a long way out. Mm.
Bentner has also seemed to have styled himself on Guile from Street Fighter. There's a lot of this going
on. Same hair. I don't like the permanent Bentner sneer. That's what I don't like. He's almost got like an Elvis sneer going on, but not in a nice way.
Yeah, it's like it says, I'm better than you, so I'm mocking you with my face.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he is.
I think it all sounds very bitter, if you ask me.
Phil Brown. Phil Brown, as we said at the start of the show, is no longer the Hull City manager. Mm. Does that come as a surprise, Pete?
Well, especially after a fairly all right performance against Arsenal, yeah.
Yeah. It's harsh that's done for him, isn't it?
Do you think it was because... after the Jimmy Bullard and Nick Barmy incident, there was they had to apologise to the women's incident. Maybe there was a campaign going on.
But they said they were near the Humber Bridge. Why can't he just stay away from bridges?
Yeah, everything
trouble
goes wrong.
Every time he goes near a bridge, old Brown.
I mean, if you
it's like John Terry.
Yeah. Well,
good one. If you put aside the fact that he's a really, really dislikable fella, Phil Brown, because I used to quite like him.
I think that's hard.
He's done a good job at Hull. When he took over, they were like right near the bottom in the doldrums of the Championship.
Yeah.
He's done a good job. It's not guaranteed they're going to get relegated this season. I can't see. The favourite to come in now is Megson.
Here he comes.
I'm not too inspired about that.
I'd forgotten all about Megson.
So with Megson, you're still gonna lose games, but you're also gonna have a really boring time of it at the same time.
With 9 games to go, it is a crazy, crazy decision, surely. I mean, who are they gonna have? I mean, Megson coming in, that's mental. It's absolutely mad.
Get Keegan in.
Yeah.
Are we up for that? Do you think Hull are gonna go down? In a word? Are Hull gonna go down?
I think they will now. Yeah, they will. Yeah. Why not? And then Bullard will get a move.
Well, Bullard said he'll stay with them.
Can they appoint anyone? Is it Horton going to step up?
Yeah. Horton will be in charge for their next game. Yeah,
his funny eyes.
Wolves got a good win at Burnley. Wolves are doing all right, I think. I think they've been quite unlucky in some games. Mick McCarthy's an odd one.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah,
really is an odd man.
Burnley, I mean. The only thing they were ever going to be relying on Burnley was the home form, and if that comes unstuck, which is starting to, they're bang in trouble. Mm.
Manchester United beat Fulham in a reasonably routine 3-0 win. I was there.
You went up there, made the trip.
I was at Old Trafford.
Day tripper.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I know it sounds like an obvious thing to say, but you know it's been a while. I just forgot. Well, not forgot, but the club is magnificent. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, we went to the Nou Camp recently. And I'm a little biased, I wouldn't say it was quite that. But a lot of Manchester United fans and a lot of other people would say it was. But it certainly rivals it, you know.
Good day out then.
It was a great day out. Yeah.
Get a prawn sandwich?
Nonsense.
Roy's couldn't do the business for you. Roy was very magnanimous in defeat.
He always is.
So we're just going to congratulate Manchester United and we'll congratulate Wayne Rooney and we'll move on and rebuild for our next game.
I have to tell you, there was a wonderful, wonderful moment during the game, but it was nothing to do with on the pitch. The game, I mean, it's United v Fulham. It's never going to be a tasty affair.
Fulham have won that tie quite a few times.
It's never going to be a particularly nasty or hate-filled game or anything like that. Okay, maybe there's been one or two little spats.
Hate Fulham, you've got something wrong with you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're the Switzerland of the Premier League. Yeah. And the game, as I say, was quite a mild game as it goes in the Premier League. And it just, there was a lull in the game, as there often is.
An LOL or just a dip?
Yeah, there was a dip. Everything just went a bit quiet. And there'd not been much banter between the two sets of supporters. And this guy stood up. And he wasn't on the edge of the Fulham crowd, right by the United fans. He was right in the middle, completely unprovoked, completely out of left field, stood up. And as I say, everything just went quiet. And he looked over the United fans and went, "You lot are a bunch of wankers!"
Did you laugh?
It was superb.
Like, you just realised it. Wait a minute. Yeah.
Was it you? Realised where I am.
Was it you?
I was with a young friend of the show, Matthew Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
And I leaned over and went, "One for the ramble."
Straight away. Yeah. Got your notebook out. Yeah. Sorry, what was that you said?
What did he point at?
United fans.
They're everywhere, surely, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was one particular. But he, everyone went, and even the United fans started applauding.
Since we had that little running
feature
where listeners have been saying, sending their sort of funny things heard at matches.
I've added.
Yeah, yeah, but my favourite one so far has definitely been, "Fill the box with attack-minded players." That's definitely my favourite one.
That's
so
good. There was a nice chant from the Fulham end when United went 2-0 up. They started singing 3-2-1 aggregate, because obviously they beat United. Of course, it ended 3-3. Yeah. But I did hear a lovely rendition to the theme tune of Yesterday by the Beatles on the way back on the train. And it was, "Suddenly he's twice the man he used to be. Oh, I believe in John O'Shea." So this guy just rattled off this whole song about John O'Shea.
I'm dead against it.
To the tune of Yesterday.
Berbatov played well.
He did play well.
He's having a bit of Indian summer. What do you call it? I don't really know.
Renaissance?
Yeah, Renaissance, maybe, yeah.
An Indian winter.
Yeah.
Berbatov smokes, doesn't he?
Does he?
I like that.
Almost certainly. I think he does, yeah.
Do you think Rooney's the best player in the world at the moment? A lot of people saying he is.
No. Messi! Yeah. Messi!
Messi is just incomparable. I mean, Rooney is absolutely superb. He's certainly up there. He's up there with Messi and Ronaldo at the moment, I would say. And I think Ronaldo deserves a bit more credit, actually, for how quickly he sort of settled into Madrid. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think he's as good as Messi. Because Messi's, like you made the point the other day, Luke, on the Facebook group, that Messi's only 22 years old, which is incredibly easy to forget.
Rooney's only, what,
24?
Yeah.
But do you think that because of the intensity of the game's being played at now and the quick sort of rate in which games come along, that players are actually peaking a lot earlier now? Because
definitely,
you wouldn't expect
absolutely.
People to peak to their 28-29 before.
That's true.
Now it seems to be the best players in the world all quite young. I know Cristiano Ronaldo's 25, but I mean, I think he's only just
24.
And he's been excellent for quite a while now.
Yeah.
But Messi. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's a fact last season, I'm not sure if it's just in the league or in all competitions, but there wasn't a game where Messi started where he didn't contribute either an assist or a goal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the craziness. For me, to answer your question properly though, I don't actually care. It just cheapens
it. Yeah, sure.
It doesn't matter to me that Wayne Rooney's maybe slightly better or slightly worse than Messi. The fact he's a great player, it's great to watch.
Well, there's no way
he's
to quantify it, is there?
Let's just enjoy it.
Concept.
It doesn't matter. I'm sure this was never an issue before.
It was nice to see him score a goal with his feet. I quite enjoyed that.
Yeah, I mean, he's been linked with Real Madrid now, isn't he? The old circus has begun. I cannot see him going there.
Hey, Rooney?
Yeah.
Why would he want to go Real Madrid?
Exactly.
Yeah, there's no point.
He'll get 10 minutes to settle in and they'll boot him out.
Yeah.
Across town, Manchester City drew with Sunderland. Well, it wasn't across town. The game was at Sunderland. Adam Johnson scored a nice goal.
Can the A-bomb force his way in?
Can he hijack that plane in a non-terrorist way?
It was certainly... it was
can you do that? I don't know. I think that's impossible.
It was certainly a very, very good, well-taken goal. But yeah. Did he mean it, though, Marcus?
Who cares?
Did he mean it?
Well, Marcus, you made a good point, which was that he can play on both flanks. He's actually left-footed.
I think that was an excellent point.
It was a very good point, yeah. Shane made it off the ramble, and now I'm taking the credit. But anyway, it was a good point. And I think now Beckham's definitely ruled out. You know I'm biased against SWP. But I'd like to see Ajon in there.
Well, it's interesting because when Swoop come off and Johnson
that's
was
Sean Wright Phillips, by the way.
Yeah, it's kind of like Nazzle, isn't it? I said that for a while. Nazzle, there you go, I said it again.
Nice one.
He did add a lot more dynamism to it, and Sean Wright Phillips was just sort of going down a lot of blighted alleys, and Johnson really added something to the game. I think he's sort of inevitably a future England international.
Absolutely.
Something else I noticed about that game, weirdly, is that Sunderland have got Hawaii the Lads written in the seats. In the stadium.
What do you think about that, Pete?
Pete?
It's nothing to do with me. I didn't do it.
That's reassuring.
But
SWP sounds like a 90s R&B group. All female.
Yeah.
He was a Sunderland supporter.
Johnson.
Wasn't he, Johnson? Wasn't
he is, yeah. Okay.
But as Steve Bruce said, I'll slap his legs or something. I'll slap his legs.
Is that like a
clip him.
He's another weird
one. Is that a northeastern sort of chastening exercise?
Steve Bruce and Mick McCarthy are the weirdest managers in the league for my money.
No, I think Phil Brown's up there as well. Ollie's well,
not anymore.
No,
he's on the dole now.
Hey. I think you'll find he's technically still employed by that club, so you are bang wrong.
Yeah, you are drinking pints of egg on your face.
Peter Storey has left Portsmouth Football Club.
Can I get an amen?
Amen, brother. I think that's probably for the best of...
Testify!
For everybody that lives anywhere near Portsmouth.
That lives. And,
But ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce you to Luke Moore's Peter Storey Roundup.
So what I thought I'd do is I'd give you my favourite Peter Storey quotes throughout his tenure at the club. You know, there's obviously been a lot of press and stuff like that. So I'll run you through them bit by bit, and I'll do them in a certain order, and so you can see which ones are your favourites. So my first one is: people have got to appreciate that I'm the chief executive of this club. I am an employee. I am not the owner, and it's the owners that make the decisions and run the club. At the end of the day, I'm simply an employee of the club, and they only carry out the instructions of the owner. That's funny, Peter, because you said, oh, Al Farage, he doesn't like publicity. He'll let me run the club day to day. It's a good one, isn't it? Peter Storey exclusive. How I sealed the Portsmouth takeover deal with Suleiman Al-Fayyim. This will revolutionise the club. Our financial problems increased when we had a succession of owners who didn't have the money to run the club. They borrowed against our assets and now are in more debt.
He's clamping himself up at every given opportunity.
But he's not afraid to... he doesn't shy away from putting the players down when they speak out of turn.
OK.
When Peter Crouch and Sol Campbell express concerns about the finances of the club, sometimes they just don't understand. They make these silly statements.
He said that?
Yeah, he said that about Peter Crouch and Sol Campbell. What about this one? This is the penultimate one is this. The club is not going into administration. If that were the case, it would have happened at the end of September or early October. Much is happening behind the scenes, but constant malicious rumours and speculation do not assist with the proposed major long-term funding that is currently being put in place. We're financially sound now. The moves that we made in the transfer window, selling Jermaine Defoe and Lassana Diarra, have made things stable.
They haven't.
And last but not least, when he resigned... it is an extremely sad day for everyone connected with this club.
Oh, my God.
I'll be the judge of that, and it fucking isn't. And that's my Peter Storey roundup.
Oh, my days.
Big thanks to the Swiss Ramble, who set up a little blog about it. And I
Swiss Ramble?
Yeah, I think they're a blog based out in Switzerland, but they're named after the Football Ramble.
Beautiful. Nice.
Influencing things. Mm. Influencing things.
Can confirm that he did give a nod of the head.
Yeah.
But no cap, no. So...
But have a wink.
Yeah.
There it is. Didier Drogba has been named African Footballer of the Year for the second time.
Oh, he's good, isn't he?
I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, he has been phenomenal this season.
Yeah.
At 32 years old as well, we were talking earlier about players peaking earlier and earlier, and he just shows no sign of slowing down. He's just getting better and better.
That's a great point, James.
I think he's just going to get sort of more... his skin's going to get harder. Yeah. It's just going to get bigger and more solid.
Yeah. I mean, who were the other candidates, though? Because I think it was Essien.
Yeah,
but Eto's not been the player he was.
No, Essien's really. Missed a lot of time, hasn't he?
I mean, I'd like to see maybe one or two of the Egyptian fellas get a look
at it.
Someone like Zidane or Abu Trika, someone like that.
Yeah. In the Championship, Kevin Nolan has won the 4-4-2 Player of the Year award at the Football League Awards, funnily enough. I think he's scored 13 goals so far this season. He's been chipping in. Pete,
Yeah, we've got a couple of players out. Him and Lovenkrantz seem to be sort of popping up when we need them, I think.
He's a good player, Lovenkrantz.
Yeah, Lovenkrantz scored at the weekend. Very Scottish. I had no idea. Even though he's...
Well, he was playing for Rangers for a while.
Yeah, but he was only there for like 4 or 5 years.
Has he got a Scottish accent?
He's got a massive Scottish accent.
Does he? Yeah, like Schmeichel's sort of Manc Danish accent he's got.
Yeah,
Marvin
was a good one.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing.
He's a decent player, Kevin Nolan. I thought that was an underrated signing for Newcastle, actually. It took him a while to get going, but...
Oh, remember, he was knocking on the door of an England call-out for Bolton, wasn't he?
That's right.
There's players that you sort of expect to have really sort of showed their class in the Championship that really haven't, people like Gutierrez.
Argentina international Jonas Gutierrez.
World Cup definite Jonas Gutierrez. But didn't he score a good one last week?
Oh, finally, Spider-Man mask out, didn't he?
He's had that in his pants for such a long time.
Do you think that's why he's been playing pants? Actually, it can't be easy, can it?
Hey.
He did a lovely setup for Lovenkrantz, though, didn't he, against Middlesbrough?
A lovely setup.
Middlesbrough acted like they'd won the flipping World Cup. I hate that place.
Don't tell Jeff Stelling that.
You do not hate the people.
Don't mock our Middlesbrough brothers.
Jeff Stelling's a Hartlepool fan.
Middlesbrough brothers?
Yeah.
Easier, quicker?
Middlesbrough, yeah.
Oh, good one, James. Once again.
But yeah, they thought they'd won the World Cup, but we were, you know, we played all right.
Well, the 2-2 draw.
Yeah, the 2-2 draw.
Yeah. In League 2, Burton Albion scored 5 goals at home.
That's loads.
Yeah. Cheltenham, the visiting side, they scored 6, though.
Even more.
Didn't Cheltenham never get in front until they scored that winner?
I think so.
Yeah, they were 5-3 down in, like, injury time. Something crazy like that.
There was 5 goals in the last 10 minutes of that game.
That's amazing.
Play to the final whistle.
Wait, you didn't want to leave to the end of that one, did you?
No, exactly, yeah.
No. Hey, see what I've done there?
Yes,
In that league, Northampton Town are now stocking a number of items from other clubs.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, it's awful.
That is absolutely sickening. I'd be gutted if I was a cobbler.
Yeah, on their website, you can buy official Manchester United, Chelsea, Arsenal and Liverpool products.
Why stop there? They literally might as well get Barcelona, Inter, Milan.
Well, I mean, I think... What do you think about this? I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit, because I like to. And would you rather the money go to Northampton Town Football Club for the stuff that you're inevitably going to buy your children who never support second division clubs?
Yeah,
or would you, rather go into Sports Direct and give it to Mike Ashley? That's what I'm saying.
The thing is, how much of a cut are Northampton realistically going to get for that? It's tiny.
Yeah, it's all dollars, isn't it?
I understand what you're saying in terms of practicality, but for me, symbolically, it's a poor move.
Yeah.
It's just sad that it's come to that.
Is it in the club shops or is it in the...
Is it on the website?
It's definitely on the website. I've seen it with my peepers. Come with me to Serie A.
Yep.
I'm on board. I'm
good.
Here. Yeah.
Good. He's on the plane.
Yeah, I've got the map out, even though we're on a plane.
Fiorentina beat Napoli at the weekend 3-1. Although they didn't have any fans there because their fans abandoned the trip to Naples in protest after they were assigned 30 tickets for the game.
It's worse than none. It's worse than giving none.
It's derisory.
Yeah. That's a Blackburn away contingent, that is.
Oh, hey. Nice. Half. Hey. Certain listeners of this show won't be happy with that.
No. He can suck it. I know who that is.
Don't worry, listeners, he plays for the team. The Ramble team.
And every week he says, did you mention me this week? This week I'm going to go, sort of.
Do you know what,
he's a lovely fella.
He came up to me with me to Manchester for the Fulham game. And when we got to Euston Station in London, as we were just about to get on the train, Ryan Nelson was there on the phone, of Blackburn captain, obviously. Yeah. And he was loving it. That was probably the best bit of his day. Oh. Not Old Trafford, not the Trinity statue at best and all that. Yeah. None of that. Ryan Nelson on the phone.
Yeah.
Obviously, if he wasn't on the phone, I would have got a picture. Oh, well.
You'd have asked for a picture, and you may have been given one.
Yeah, you may have also been headbutted.
back to the Fiorentina business.
Or not.
Well, yeah.
Tickets.
Someone from the club said that they would have brought a total of 250 to 300 people.
Yeah, I read that they had 5 coaches lined up, apparently. Yeah. So that would have been about that number.
It's outrageous.
I don't know how you get away with that. I'm sure there are rules in place in this country that you've got to give a certain amount of tickets if they're needed up to a certain point. You know, I think it's 10% of the capacity where it was traditionally.
Yeah.
I mean, there surely has to be a law in place for that because it's a big game.
It's Italy.
A rival coming up, and you just go, "Yeah, we're just going to give you 10 tickets."
Italy, James.
You have 7.
No, we want more. Well, you're not having them. I saw a bit of that game, and I was sitting there enjoying the purple.
Good.
Laviola.
It's not the worst thing that's happened in Serie A.
No. Definitely not.
Inter lost to Catania 3-1, which, with Milan winning 1-0 at home.
Can I say that's burst the title race wide open?
Well, Milan are now a point. Did you see the goal from Seedorf? Beauty.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
Gazzetta called Inter losing, the fox is wounded.
Hey.
But, I mean, although Milan won, none of the other teams in the top eight did. So then none of them took advantage of Inter losing at all.
No. Really, Milan, I think it was a 91st minute winner.
It was. Yeah. It's really just between Milan and Inter now.
Which is nice to at least see that the two sort of like local sides.
I'd love to see Leonardo get it. I love Jose. I like.
Yeah.
But
he's
nice
won enough.
It's nice to see something mixed up. It's nice to see Leonardo, after getting quite a lot of stick at the beginning of the season, actually come up with something.
Yeah.
And for sentimental reasons, I'd love Milan to win so Beckham would get a medal for Italy, Spain, and England.
Well, Inter Milan is a title race, is the most handsome managed title race I can think of.
We've had this before,
what's
I think.
Half an hour in. We need some sort of sex alarm.
In case he attacks you.
All I'm saying is, if it's Barcelona Real Madrid, then obviously Pellegrini lets a side down. Go down, a very handsome man.
Yeah.
You know, The Premier League, you might as well forget it.
Well, if it's Sunderland versus
now
Man
Phil
City,
Brown's gone.
You know, Roberto Mancini lets the side down there.
Yeah. Man City are going to win the title. Mancini is the only handsome manager in the Premier League, pretty much.
Is he?
Yeah.
Can we have a quick thought on that?
Who? Sorry?
Mancini's the only handsome manager.
Mancini's the only handsome manager in the Premier League.
I thought Brown had his moments, I think.
Uncle Abram. Uncle Avi.
Come on.
What are you laughing for?
What? He fell over there.
Come on.
Uncle Avi.
Tony Pulis. No.
Never takes his cap off. Tony Pulis. Tell me.
Just take his cap off.
I've never seen him take his cap off until today when I saw a picture of him playing golf when he had no cap on, oddly. And he looked really weird.
He's like a local radio DJ.
Is he as well, yeah?
When he's.
No, you idiot! He doesn't get much money.
With interviews, he never has the cap on.
Yeah, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Jimbo?
No, I've seen him with and without cap.
My brain draws a cap on him every time.
Yeah, maybe I'm doing it subconsciously. But anyway, that's the point I've made. Jose and Leonardo, very handsome couple, fine. They're not a couple.
Shock horror. Yeah. Luke finds man attractive.
It's not a crime.
Well, let's...
Bloody was, son. You're yourself lucky.
Let's move on to Spain. There was a couple of hat-tricks.
Hmm. We should have gone to Spain first.
No, we shouldn't have.
More goals.
I'm
just thinking geographically.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Well, there was an offer on that.
Oh, we're coming on the way back.
Exactly, yeah. Barcelona beat Valencia 3-0. Messi with a great hat-trick.
Well, it's a testament of how badly Henry's been playing this season. They didn't even start, even with Ibrahimovic suspended. They were poor in the first half. Guardiola chucked him on, mixed it up a little bit, and he was superb, Henry was. Superb.
Yeah.
And as good as Messi was with his hat-trick, I mean, I watched the game, and Henry was absolutely wonderful. I don't know if he's turned into a new player.
Well, when Henry was at Arsenal, he always spoke about how he saw himself dropping a bit deeper when he got older, doing exactly what Bergkamp did. That was always his plan, apparently. It seems maybe that is what's
happening. What he looked like he was doing against Valencia.
Because he's a very different player now, and it's a little bit sad to see it, that he's not the same sort of player with that explosive pace and sort of really deft finishing. But he's obviously such a skillful player. He's such a good player with the ball at his feet. He's always going to have a lot to offer.
Look what Giggs has done. I mean, he lost a bit, his yard or two of pace.
Exactly.
He's changed himself as a player. But, I mean, not to be outdone, Real Madrid...
Higuain scored a hat-trick. Ronaldo scored a trademark free kick.
He was getting kicked Peter. All over the place, wasn't he?
Good. You see the state of his legs? The stud marks.
Oh, yeah, that's right, he was.
Real Madrid used to kick the shit out of Messi, right, last season.
Well, they all did, didn't they, Spain?
Yeah. Well, on the subject of hat-tricks, if I may sort of digress from Spain, Robbie Keane got a hat-trick for Celtic.
Yeah.
Of which he probably went, yes!
Yes!
After last week's celebration.
5 goals in 2 games, not bad.
He's doing
not a bad return.
It's not bad, that league.
It's clearly quite terrible.
Well, if we go back to Spain, the gap in La Liga from second to third is 18 points, I think it is.
Yeah. It's a shame.
It's unbelievable, that is. I didn't realise that was the case.
Did we not talk about at the beginning of the season about how we thought if Real or Barca slip up, then we fancy Sevilla? But it's just not happening.
Yeah,
they're
it was at the start. But
yeah, they're just falling away.
Oh, can I say that? We were talking about things said at the start of the season. You'll enjoy this, Luke. A friend of mine pointed out, he was listening to the start of the season show, or the start of the season ramble, and you said that the race for the running for fourth spot will be between Manchester City and Spurs mainly, and Liverpool will be struggling to get it.
Well, that was a reaction to Alan Hansen saying that Liverpool were going to win the league this season. And I thought I'd better redress the balance somewhere. You could see that with the squad. Well,
apparently that's what you said. I haven't, obviously.
What do you mean? Don't sound so surprised. I do watch football. I do like football, you know. Sometimes I do. Yeah, even a blind squirrel occasionally finds a nut.
Well, thank you, David Brent.
Yeah, well, what we were saying about Spain, is going back over to Spain again.
Good.
Obviously, it's a huge, huge gap between second and third, but for that very reason, it does mean it's wide open with sort of third and fourth, which I think is far more interesting than it's quite often is in England. I know it's very different this season. I love that you never know who's going to get those two spots for the Champions League in Spain. I think it's brilliant.
Well, you get teams like Villarreal playing the Champions League in Spain occasionally, you know, which is great stuff.
Athletic Bilbao are up there as well. I think they're seventh, actually, but they're in the mix. And, of course, they were fighting relegation, were they not, last season? They were certainly down there.
In a way, it's a lot more like the Championship in that sense, in that it's just so open, and you could feasibly go down one season or just manage to stay up and challenge the next.
Oh, challenge! It's nowhere near as good as the Championship.
I know,
Challenge
I know,
is a quality
I know.
League, much better. English.
Second best league in the world.
Yeah, the world has ever known.
Real Madrid were eliminated from the Champions League.
No, they were hilariously eliminated from the Champions League, Marcus.
So while we're on the subject of Lukey Moore predictions, it's probably best I even it out by saying that I tweeted before that Real would have too much for Leon, and they'd blow him away. And now they've been knocked out, so that's the way it goes.
Oh, spent over a quarter of a billion euros, didn't they? Look at it like that, a quarter of a billion. Not 260 million, a quarter of a billion,
massive,
Luke.
Isn't it?
More than a quarter.
You've got to laugh. You have to laugh. You've got to laugh. I was wondering, because I didn't see the game, I was watching the other game.
Pete, are you laughing? There you are.
Half and half.
But okay. Ronaldo always goes for, Cristiano Ronaldo always goes for the tears, or the old... Oh, my teammates have let me down, they're so shit, shake of the head. And he went for the shake of the head and just stormed off, didn't he? Yeah.
Didn't he have a bit of a row with Higuain over sort of a misplaced pass or something like that during the game?
Higuain should have scored when he hit the post.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was a bit unlucky, but should have scored.
But they're out for the sixth year in a row, is it? That stage?
Something like that. Because they thought it was obviously their destiny, because it was at their stadium, the final.
If Barca go win that in the Bernabeu, that'd be massive. God. It'd be massive.
Wouldn't that be brilliant?
It'll be delish.
That finished? Yeah. Emails.
It is email.
It's still alive. Marker, stamp on it.
Bomb.
That's how you start. That's easily how it sounds like when you stamp on something. Bomb.
Yeah. Save me, Luke.
Ramble Force. Ho!
Oh.
James, that was a poor effort. After the induction of Sir Stanley Matthews and Teddy Sheringham into the Dean Windass Hall of Fame, I thought I'd let you know of another player of senior years who beats the both of them hands down. This comes in the shape of former Labour Party leader and recently deceased Michael Foot. As a 90th birthday present, his beloved Plymouth Argyle registered him as an honorary player, officially making him the oldest player ever to be registered to a professional football club, although Carney was just about to break the record. Obligatory Carnew age gagging. Keep up the good work, Sam from Chatham.
That's great stuff.
Yeah, 90. Don't think he'll get a run out. No. Just there for his experience, really.
Yeah.
Have him round. A bit like when United signed Laurent Blanc.
and he is dead as well, so I strongly doubt he's going to get a run out.
It's a valid, valid point. James, read us an email.
Rambleforth Hole. Coincidence that the early game of football was created by kicking an inflated pig's bladder and the modern game is being ruined by an inflated piss bag named Blatter? Just a thought. That's from the Flying Dutchman in NYC.
Nice. New York City.
Wordplay like it.
Worth thinking about.
Yeah. Good. Pete.
You want me to read mine?
Please.
All right, then. This is from Ben Thomas in Paris.
Oh.
International.
Oh, yeah. Ramble Foss. I imagine it's...
Ramble Foss.
I thought it was fantastic to hear you finally enter Pierluigi Collina into the Dean Windass Hall of Fame last week. And it reminded me of an interesting fact I learned some years ago about the man when I first began studying at the University of Hull. Kalina received an honorary doctorate in science from the University of Hull in 2004 for his services to football. And if you check out photos of him at the ceremony, it proves that Phil Brown is not the only man on Humberside that looks like he's been tangoed. The region seems to be in the midst of some sort of orange epidemic. Orange face. Yeah. Orange egg.
I've seen that photo and he's absolutely right. It's like maybe it's something to do with Hull itself as a place. They're just sort of projecting orange onto the people.
Maybe they've got a microclimate up there and it's roasting. I didn't realise Kalina had got such an accolade.
Well, if you had, I would presume it would have been in the profile, Marcus.
Yeah. You can get these sort of doctorates. I'm not saying quite easy, but I mean, like, you just get handed to them if you're of naught.
Yeah, but you've got to have done
something. I'm just
something.
Sort of saying.
It's a bit like an MBA.
University of Teesside.
Yeah, so you want one, do you?
I kind of want one.
Services to what?
Being awesome.
Making stupid making stupid noises, more like.
Being awesome.
Marcus, who's getting the Championship Manager goodie bag, my friend?
The man from Chatham.
Chatham? You mean Sam from Chatham in Kent?
The chap from Chatham.
I got it wrong.
Sam, Sam, a Championship Manager goodie bag's on its way to you.
Go on, Sam.
But in Chatham.
Yeah. Chatham. Lads and lasses, it's profile time.
Yow!
Thank you. Bill Nicholson, OBE.
Spurs legend.
Yes, that's the one. I'll tell you what, I'll give you his full name, William Edward Nicholson.
It was important, the details there.
Yeah. He was born on the 26th of January, 1919.
God, that's a tough one.
1 year after the outbreak of World War II.
No,
the end of World War
II. 1 year after I missed this day. But 40...
I missed this day, I was asleep.
Good one, Pete.
1919, you say?
Yeah.
48 years before the Summer of Love.
Was it?
Yeah.
Nobody can bother to check, he's just a target of poop.
It's important.
Yes.
It is indeed. He was a former Spurs player, but most notably the manager. Yeah. Of Tottenham Hotspur, and probably the finest manager they've ever had. He went for a trial in 1936 with Spurs, and he recalls, he says, we weren't exactly sure where Tottenham was. He says, my mother and father had never seen me play football before, but they knew I was keen, but they had no idea whether I was any good or not. So
different time, that was.
Very much so, yeah. So he had... he had a month's trial at White Hart Lane, and he was taken on as a ground staff boy on £2 a week. And as he said, you know, we were cheap labour, effectively. He said, I painted every single girder under those stands out there. 8 to 5 we worked every day and trained 2 afternoons a week, including a lot of running around a pitch. So it's crazy. They got him in. He worked 8 till 5, like, doing all these jobs around the stadium. They just trained 2 afternoons a week.
Do you reckon he was like, God, I didn't know this being a football was like. I've done something else. Yeah. I just seemed to be painting and running.
He signed as a professional at the age of 18, and he played a few games before 1939, which, of course, was the outbreak of World War II. And he served his time there. Because he was a professional footballer, he was sent on a PE course and he became sergeant instructor.
Patronising, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's Johnny's already good at that.
Well, yeah, it's very true.
So he was just like a PTI or something, was he?
He was an infantry instructor and then a physical training instructor. But he had a few guest appearances. I do like that they managed to play a few games.
Did he play for FC Start?
No.
Oh, that was amazing.
That was in Ukraine. He had a few guest appearances for Middlesbrough, Sunderland, Newcastle and Darlington, amongst others.
Okay.
He lost a lot of his playing career to the war, unfortunately, but he doesn't regret it. He said about his wartime experience, he said, it was invaluable. What I did for 6 years in the army taught me how to handle people and how to talk to people.
That's fascinating, really, because you would pick up a lot of sort of man management skills from that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. It definitely
would be invaluable.
Round you off as a person, absolutely.
In 1946, he went straight into the Tottenham first team. He was centre-half. And then he moved to right-half, which I think is probably a right-back.
It depends what formation they're playing, I suppose.
Could have been up front.
Yeah. Yes, right, yeah. The 1-1-8 formation. Sort of play. And he was there until a certain Danny Blanchflower took over his position.
That team was like famous for like the 1-2, wasn't it?
That's right.
They introduced it, and that was revolutionary. Imagine that being revolutionary, a 1-2.
Great stuff.
The push and run team, I think.
Yeah, push and run.
Between May 1949 and kind of December 1955, he was one of the cornerstones of Arthur Rowe's great team that won the second and first division championships in successive seasons.
Great stuff.
Wow.
And that's the first time in Spurs history they won the top division, I believe. And in May 51, he was 32 and he got his first and only England call-up. And he scored with his first kick of the ball.
Oh, lovely.
So he's 1-1. But he was never
Nugent.
Picked for, he was never picked for England again.
Nugent!
That's right. I think it was, unfortunately for him, he was playing at the same time a certain Billy Wright was, who took his position. But he was described, Nicholson, as a very unflashy player, very sort of solid and hard but fair tackler.
I think you had to be in those days, didn't you?
Very much so, yeah. In 1955, going forward a couple of years, he, in anticipation of his retirement, he acquired a FA coaching badge and coached the Cambridge University team.
Oh, that's a nice, interesting fact.
Yeah, he was soon appointed coach at Spurs and spent the summer of 1958 in Sweden with England at the World Cup.
Okay.
And they said it was his tactical genius that ensured England...
Didn't win.
England were the only country not to be beaten by Brazil, which was the only game that Brazil didn't score, and it ended 0-0.
Okay. Hmm. I didn't know you went out to Sweden for that. I had no idea.
That's right. Where Gunnar Nordahl and the Swedes were.
They're all there. Garrincha would have been there as well.
Garrincha was there, yeah. He became... And Pele, lest we forget.
Yeah.
He became Tottenham Hotspur manager in 58. His first game in charge at Spurs, they beat Everton at White Hart Lane 10-4.
not only that, though, he got told that he was the new manager in the morning. In the afternoon, they won that by that amount.
Oh, that's right.
I bet the fans were like, this is brilliant. Some of that.
Oh, I don't see how this could ever end.
That's it. Bill Nicholson, a lot of people say he was one of the greatest English managers of all time. A thoughtful and innovative tactician, and he coached the Spurs side, which did the first double of the 20th century in 1961.
Yeah,
wow. Spurs won the league.
1961. It took that long.
Yeah,
that's what I know. That's what I know.
In the 20th century,
but the first manager to win a double in England. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, they won their first 11 games of the season. And scoring 115 goals in 42 games.
Wow.
He also signed Jimmy Greaves from Milan in 62, and when they defended the FA Cup. Greavesy and a fellow Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
Yeah, they'll be in good company. They can reminisce.
Bill Nicholson was also the first manager to lead an English club to victory in Europe.
First Cup?
Wow. 1963. It was the Cup Winners' Cup.
Oh, was it? Sorry.
Where they beat Atletico Madrid, who were the favourites, 5-1 in the final.
Wow.
He also won FA Cup in 67, the League Cup in 71 and 73, and the UEFA Cup in 72.
I say manager, Richard. Because that's what he has.
Don't call me Richard. And the great thing about Nicholson's sides is they played attractive football. And he said, it's no use just winning. We've got to win well.
I mean, that's obviously why he's held up in such high regard as well. Mm. I mean, because that tends to come along with the reputation, doesn't it? People like Brian Clough got a lot of credit for playing the game properly, saying stuff like, you know, if God wanted us to play up in the clouds, he'd put grass up, that sort of stuff, you know. Yeah. Well, so it does add to his sort of legend.
Spurs do have that sort of kind of woven into the club, really, don't they? They've always been a side that sort of try and play sort of attractive football, and they're doing it particularly well at the moment. And it's interesting that sort of, you know, you see these people that have built the real sort of foundations of the club, and that ethos tends to stay there a lot of the time.
He used to travel sort of far and wide in search of new players, and apparently we'd often stand on the terraces anonymously and listen to the locals about players that were good.
Oh, really?
That's teams,
good,
yeah.
Couldn't do that these days.
Well, certainly not, yeah. No.
I bet that's what Capello does when he goes to...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
He stepped down as Spurs boss in 1974, and apparently he was a bit disillusioned with the modern game, and he hated the commercialisation of the game. That was in 74.
He was there for a while then.
Yeah, he was there for a while, but he continued to serve the club as a scout. So he went away from the club for a bit and came back and one thing or another, but he did continue to serve the club as a scout and consultant, and then in 1991 he became president of the club. And in 1999, the approach to White Hart Lane was named Bill Nicholson Way in his honour. And in 2003, he was inducted into the English Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, that was That was the easy one out of the way. Yeah. Now he's got the big one.
That's right. Yeah. Unfortunately, he died in 2004, but the memory lives on. And I'll end with a quote which kind of sums up the great man. He said, "It is better to fail aiming high than to succeed aiming low. And we have set our sights very high. So high, in fact, that even failure will have in it an echo of glory."
Jesus Christ, that is so relevant to Spurs now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Nicholson is the D-man. That's all about. Hey.
I don't mean that as a dig at Tottenham either, because they do that, don't they? They really do just aim as high as possible. Mm.
Bill Nicholson, OBE.
Dean Windass, Hall of Famer.
DWHOF.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the show. I hope you've had a lovely time. If you want to get in touch, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com. And the website is thefootballramble.com. Betway predictions. I did not get a treble. I think none of mine came in.
No, I don't think any of us did.
No, mine didn't either. Two of them did.
What are you doing this week?
United to beat Liverpool.
They didn't win last year there, did they?
No.
That's right. For what? Yeah. I think they'll avenge that.
Liverpool beat them this season as well, didn't they?
Anfield. Yeah. But I'm not at Old Trafford yet. It's yet to be decided.
You know, they still played.
All to play each other.
I think you're not going to win that game, but I've not gone for that. I've gone for a treble, including Arsenal and Aston Villa and stuff like that. So
stuff like that.
I've gone for Wigan to beat Burnley in El Clasico.
Super classic.
I decide B Jams Clasico. I said B-Jabs, we don't even have them up north.
No.
I'm going for a single this time. I'm going to just try and climb out the hole that I've dug myself. Arsenal to pump West Ham.
To pump West Ham? Yes. I didn't see that option to pump on the website, but it was there and I believe you. If you want to get involved, it's betterway.com/thefootballramble.
It is indeed. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Lukey.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, James or Jim.
Goodbye.
We're all off to sell Football Weekly t-shirts on our website. Cheers.
The official Teesside advert I just happen to have with me.
What the bloody hell are you doing?
God, you really want this, don't you?
Just saying, Teesside University, I'm there.
Pete, you're basically using the Ramble as a vehicle to try and get an honorary doctorate from Teesside University.
I never graduated in Leicester, so... I had an outstanding library fine.
You were too busy hanging out with the elephants, weren't you?
We were wondering why, by the way, that you went to University of Leicester.
No, I didn't. At De Montfort.
Oh, you went to De Montfort University. Yeah. Okay, it's not important for the purpose of this question. And you studied, like, graphic design or something, right?
Yeah.
Why were you always in the zoo? Why would you spend so much time in the zoo?
Are you trying to sort of spread scurrilous rumours? Why are you on a zoo? Those sexy giraffes.
I wasn't thinking that, but I am now.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I'll tell you why. Because I did not organise my own year out, my own sandwich course, my own work experience course.
So you spent it in the zoo?
Someone sent you to the zoo?
Effectively, yeah.
So you had a year at uni where you had to sort out a year's employment and you didn't bother, so you went to the zoo.
So they went, "Do you want to go to the zoo?" I said, "Of course I do." What is wrong with you? Of course I do.
Where's the most sensible place to send Pete Donaldson? He belongs in a zoo. That's how I imagine it went.
Come to me, jungle friends.
If anyone said to me, "Do you want to spend the year in the zoo?" I'd say yes as well.
Yeah. I'm using that again.
In fact, if anybody can sort us out a year in a zoo, then we'll happily do that.
This is the Football Ramble.
Giraffes have pretty eyes, don't they? Giraffes have pretty eyes, don't they? Come to me, jungle friends.
John. I was going to say something.
Have you got it?
No.
Okay. I was about to move on to Manchester City.
It would only work if Steve Bruce was in that Wigan and he isn't. The Beast in!
Domus in!
The Beast out!
Domus out!
The Beast in!
Domus in!
The Beast out!
Domus out! Out!
Unnecessary.
Very much.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So.